WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perchet. Israel continues to target Hamas holdouts in Gaza, working to crush the terror group, but civilians are caught in the crossfire. The Gaza Health Ministry says as many as 500 people died today after a bomb targeted a hospital in central Gaza. ABC's Ian Pannell says more than a million are displaced and on the run.
People are trying to find somewhere safe to go. Meanwhile, you've got hundreds of foreign nationals, including 500 to 600 American passport holders, also trapped in Gaza. Negotiations underway to try and get them out, but so far that border isn't opening to allow the foreign nationals out, or indeed the international aid back in.
Israeli forces now preparing for a ground offensive. President Biden will visit Israel tomorrow in a show of support. He'll also meet with Arab leaders in an effort to keep the conflict from spreading. He will also be pushing for humanitarian aid to reach Gaza. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio failed to secure enough votes to be voted in as Speaker of the House. Jordan coming up short despite growing pressure on fellow Republicans. This is ABC News. Police in Brussels fatally shot a suspected terrorist accused of killing two Swedish soccer fans. Authorities killed the Tunisian suspect just miles from the soccer match.
Three people left for what was supposed to be a wonderful soccer party. Two of them lost their lives in a brutal terrorist attack.
Authorities are reviewing video that appears to show the suspect pledging allegiance to ISIS. A warning apparently missed in the case of a Pennsylvania prison escapee.
Weeks before, authorities say Danilo Cavalcante broke out of the Chester County prison in Pennsylvania in August. A correctional officer warned that the convicted murderer was planning an escape. That's according to internal documents obtained by ABC News. The officer, identified in the documents as Sergeant Jerry Beavers, wrote to a jail captain, "I'm just sending this because I don't want this to come back on us." That was in July. Authorities say Cavalcante escaped August 31st, crab walking up a prison wall, onto a roof, and breaking through a wire fence to get away, and spent nearly 2 weeks on the run. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Alex Perchet, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Another candidate has entered the Democratic primary for the right to challenge Republican Derek Van Orden for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Eric Wilson joins four other primary candidates, Rebecca Cook, Tara Johnson, Aaron Knights, and Katrina Shankland, competing for the opportunity to run against Van Orden. Wilson has a background in healthcare, real estate, and agriculture, and is openly a member of the LGBTQ plus community. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has proclaimed October 17th as Rise Up for LGBTQ plus Youth Day, following a series of bills targeting trans youth being passed in the state legislature. In a press release, Governor Evers said, quote, "I want LGBTQ plus folks, including our trans kids, to know they are welcome, wanted, and belong here in Wisconsin, and I will keep fighting every day to continue our work to build a state where they feel safe, supported, and loved being exactly who they are." For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
More at CruitersLoungeMN.com. Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you, Matt and Patrick, here today. Patrick, how are you today, my friend?
Doing all right. We're just kind of running into a little bit of a scramble because it's MEA week for schools, which means all the football games that are usually on Friday get to be played tomorrow instead.
Okay.
So now we're kind of running into some schedule.
Are you a starting QB? Did I miss something here?
Well, I announced the game, so I got to be in the, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page of when they got to be at the stadium.
What game are you covering tomorrow?
It'll be a Titanic clash of Hopkins against Edina. Should be the game of the century. No offense to anyone.
No offense to Hopkins. Hopkins is not. My kids go to Hopkins. This open enrollment won't be used for emphasizing sports teams. They pick that program pretty clean of football players by the time they're seventh graders. So yeah, it will be a defensive struggle. I can already see it from here. Well, you enjoy yourself tomorrow night. I made pot roast today. It was kind of one of those things where I was in a kind of a pot roast. So I got it going right now. So I'm feeling pretty good. A little potato action, a little corn carrot action. Got a nice gravy going. Did chuck steaks. Feeling pretty good about things. So because it is, I'm kind of hoping at some point. Are the leaves planning on coming down at some point?
I sure hope so.
It's the 17th. It is the 17th of October, and I have yet to rake up any leaves in this at all.
And I told you off air yesterday, there's a candy shop up near Two Harbors, and they said, oh, the leaves are peaking here right now. You should come up and take a look. And I'm like, that peak should have been about 2.5 weeks ago.
Anything by the North Shore should have been by end of September, really.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, first of all, we've got Mike Griffin's going to join us a little bit later on. He's he had a situation where he was the victim of a racist attack. Basically, in a verbal attack in Minneapolis, in his own apartment building, Tizzy Ent, the very popular online poster on TikTok and on Twitter, he brought up the story. I'm going to have Mike on here to talk a little bit about this and how that happened in his efforts to try to identify the individual who verbally assaulted him there. Also, Cooligan, it's a Tuesday, so Cooligan gets to stop on by. We'll get to the magic hour. Thank you. Oh, God. Oh, can we get some sad trombone music? Sad trombone music ready for Jim Jordan, because that's going to be happening. Yesterday, okay, so let's get to the Sexy Liberal Show, which is coming up here on Saturday. Of course, Steph and the whole crew of Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, you've got Frangela. They're all going to be live from Los Angeles on Saturday night. You could get yourself a pay-per-view pass to watch it live. And it is great. We've been giving away these passes on two different ways. Now, at some point today during the show, I'll call for a certain number caller. And if you're that number caller, you'll win yourself a pay-per-view pass. But we've also been giving away the pay-per-view passes on the social media sites as well. And so what happens is at 9 in the morning, we usually make a post it's on the AM950 Twitter feed, the AM950 Facebook feed, and the AM950 Instagram feed. And we make the same post there, and you're supposed to put a specific comment in that post. And if you do, well, you'll be picked to basically, you'll be in the entry to be possibly picked to get yourself a pay-per-view pass. Yesterday, the phrase was Steph is awesome. Patrick, have we got ourselves a winner from the social media pages?
We do have a winner from social media. Patty Rose on Facebook. Congratulations, Patty. We will get you a message to get your information, and you'll be on your way to a nice night on the couch Saturday night. as I had to catch myself because you're not actually going there. You'll just have to kind of have a nice night on the couch watching the sexy liberal comedy show.
I just figured out how to pull up stuff on my TV that I used to pull up on my computer. So you can enjoy yourself. I hope you enjoy that pay-per-view pass. Now, we got to get you set for tomorrow because, once again, on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., we're making the social media post. You need to make sure you get your comment in there and have a chance to win the pay-per-view pass to the Sexy Liberal Tour. The phrase for tomorrow, the comment that you need to make on either the Twitter page, the Facebook page, or the Instagram page is live from Los Angeles, all right? Live from Los Angeles. All right? There you go. Get ready for that. That is tomorrow. And once again, if you want to try to win a pay-per-view pass with me, just keep listening for the show throughout the entire day. Ruh-roh. Oh, do we have any sad trombone music? Anything? Anything that's, you know, Yakety Sax even will work if you want to know the truth. The Yakety Sax works for everything, though. The Benny Hill song. But do we have anything that's depressing and sad for the lonely guy?
Actually, give me 1 second here.
Knock yourself out. Jim Jordan is not, he's not feeling good. He's officially lost his first vote in his speaker's bid. He only received 200 votes, which means 20 members voted for other Republicans. 20 Republicans voted for other Republicans. Whatever happened to the Sean Hannity bump? I thought he, did you hear about the letters that they were sending out? Clear intimidation. Oh, there he is. Oh, keep that handy. There's other votes coming up today. We might even have a vote here during the show, a second vote. I have a feeling you're going to get that again. There's a nice little thank you. Thank you, trombone guy. I appreciate that little accentuation at the end. Mwah, magnifique. 212 for Jeffries, 200 votes for Jim Jordan, 20 went to other people, including the one that was weird was House Member Buck. This is Ken Buck. This is Loonball Extreme out in Colorado. You know, he lives, you know, one of those guys that want to live up in a shack and drink my own urine, that kind of guy. He basically voted for Tom Emmer. And before you say to yourself, okay, so the extremists are drawn to Tom Emmer. No, they're drawn to Jim Jordan. But Ken Buck can't stand Tom Emmer, apparently, so voted for him out of spite. The 12 vulnerable Republicans representing districts won by Biden just voted to walk their own re-election hopes off the plank by embracing the extremist MAGA vaccine agenda and voting of Jim Jordan, said House Majority PAC spokesman J.C. Warnke. They're planning on using their votes against them in 2024, as you should. As you should. Most of the votes, I mean, a large portion of the votes that were against Jim Jordan were actually from the House Appropriations Committee, from the people who basically write the bills to keep the government spending. They basically could already see this cab coming, and they you can't just shut the government down for an extended period of time. The Republicans are under this mindset that even though they didn't win the presidency and even though they didn't win the Senate, they can shut it down. And until they do everything on our agenda, we're not going to start the government back up again. Now, mind you, most of these Republicans represent districts where if the government shuts down, there is going to be a massive impact to the quality of life for those individuals in those districts. But I want to remind people, Republicans don't give a flying F about their own constituents. They don't. They haven't for years. They haven't for years. They don't care about you. Tom Emmer, if you're up there in Minnesota 6th District, he doesn't care about you. Fishbach, she doesn't give a he doesn't care about you at all out in 7. Stubby up in 8, he doesn't care about you, and whatever Junior's name down in 1 is. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. They could go on out there and basically try to save the family farm, but they're not going to do that because they get too much in corporate ag kickbacks. So they sacrifice you and try to take away your home health care. They don't try to take away your transportation, your quality of education, shut down all the rural hospitals. They do everything in their power to make your life miserable and then basically say, keep voting for me. They don't care about you. So that, you know, they're going to shut the government down and knowing it's going to hurt you dramatically because that's what Republicans do. So the House Appropriation Committee members are all voting against Jim Jordan because we can't do this. The moderates, I mean, Jim Jordan is not a middle-of-the-road guy. I mean, my God. Jim Jordan is likely was involved in the January 6th insurrection. At the very least, he was very much aware of what was going on. At the very least, he knew there was going to be an attempt to overthrow the government of the United States of America. There's decent evidence that points to him being involved in trying to overthrow the government of the United States of America. His entire role right now is to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't face any consequences for trying to overthrow the government of the United States. And there is a strong suspicion I have that he is willing to actually torpedo democracy and install a new Republican Uber Alles policy in the United States, which is not completely out of his realm as the Speaker of the House. Although I think there would be enough Republicans that would, you know, work against him. The reality is that this is a dangerous man. He is truly horrible. He is not a proud American. And then there's the whole thing that he turned a blind eye to his own athletes at Ohio State University getting violated behind closed doors and did nothing to stop it. Yeah, he kind of did. And he's a horrible, horrible human being. So there's all that. I mean, this is Jim Jordan. If Jim Jordan becomes the Speaker of the House, it is truly the death of the GOP, because you have now gotten yourself into the point where your Speaker is openly, and the Speaker of choice of the Republican Party is someone who has openly embraced a conspiracy theory that has been debunked over and over and over again, even in cases where Republicans have been in charge of an investigation, they keep coming back and saying there's no evidence to say this was stolen. But that's where they're at, because they don't care about the truth. They don't care about this country. They only care about, they will turn this country into a heap of rubble as long as they can do the Fox News cut in on top of the rubble and talking about, thank God I saved America. And the fact is, and I mentioned the Sean Hannity thing. If you've not seen it, Sean Hannity is clearly out there trying to strong arm the Republicans into voting for Jim Jordan, talking about, if you don't, why not? Don't you realize this is embarrassment? I mean, really a threat from Fox News. And he can try to separate himself all day long as much as he possible. But Sean Hannity is basically a Fox News host out there trying to strong arm Republicans into basically voting for Jim Jordan. Your best bet, and I'm going to be honest with you, your best bet is Kevin McCarthy. I honestly think Kevin McCarthy is your best bet to get back and, you know, if someone there. I know, Poindexter, that's the temporary speaker, the acting speaker right now. There's a lot of people that are pointing towards him possibly being the candidate. But the reality is I don't think anyone... I think it was an amazing Herculean task that McCarthy was able to get just enough votes as it was. I think Matt Gaetz every hour looks stupider. I didn't even think it was possible. I mean, he makes a drooling rock look like, you know, a Rhodes Scholar at this point. He looks just dumber every second he is out there. And the reality is that this whole thing, it's all theatrics. It's all made up. It's a bunch of guys out there basically who are only there for themselves. They're only there for their new Newsmax cut-ins. They're only there for their OAN cut-ins. They're only in for a Steve Bannon visit. They're only there for a shout-out at a Mike Flynn rally. That's all they're there for. And they're hollow shells of anything. And even still, they cannot get this done. It is. I feel sorry for the moderate Republicans because it's pick your poison. Either you vote for Jim Jordan, which means you're going to get the nomination again, but you're going to get annihilated in the next election, or side against Jim Jordan and get, you know, primaried by some right-winging, drooling troglodyte who basically is screaming MAGA the entire time to watch them get annihilated in the general election. It's one or the other. But I do give some credit to the to some of these people who basically said, no, I'm not going to go along with this guy. You're a January 6th denier. You're an election denier. You allowed your athletes to get sexually assaulted on campus. You're truly a horrible human being. And I think the one point made by the Democrats, which was, I thought, a very valid one, was the fact that he hasn't passed a bill in his entire existence there. You know, that's not the guy you want to put into a leadership position. You know, it's there is within party leadership and Democrats, Republicans, there's always a guy that there is strong arm other people. That's Jim Jordan. You know, he does his work behind the scenes, especially, you know, if the Republicans had a brain in their skull in that house, they would basically find someone who, like McCarthy, that could use Jim Jordan to keep everyone else in line. But I actually don't know if that's even possible anymore, because you keep electing absolute horrible candidates. There's at least 20 Minnesota House and Senate members who 20 years ago would have been laughed at if they tried to run in their district, and now are in districts which they're so dug in there, they're like wood ticks. And they don't care. They don't care about the majority. They don't care about anything. They just care about their online trolls. They care about their news hits. That's all they care about. They care about the never-ending self cycle of celebrity that they have created for themselves at the expense of their party and their constituents. And they don't care. They don't care about you. They're not trying to make your roads better. They're not trying to help education. They're not trying to out there and help healthcare out. They're not trying out there to make your life better in any capacity. They could care less. They only care about a handful of wealthy people that keep them funded. And that's it. Yep, this is the Republican Party today, an absolute disgrace and an absolute mess. It's fun to watch. Oh, God. It was quick. That was quick. They got up to 7 votes pretty quick there. I'm like, that's the end of that. Well, I guess we'll just wait for the next round. I only wonder what Sean Hannity's offering now. Better get those knee pads ready there, buddy, Sean. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'll talk about Dean Phillips, because I don't think Dean Phillips is running for president. I'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hey, Twin Cities, it's Latunji from Latunji's Palette. We're celebrating 5 years in business. Latunji's Palette, it's a place for gourmet pastries, sandwiches, drinks, and so much more. Come on over and visit us at 1400 Park Avenue South. Feel the connection of food and community. Also, we want you to look for our famous peach cobbler and other gourmet goodies at Eastside Food Co-op, Hy-Vee, Lunds and Barley's, North Market, and more. Learn more at latunjispalette.com, where we're built with purpose, fortified with love.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, I should mention here, so Jordan got 200 votes, Scalise got 7, McCarthy got 6, Zeldin got 3. That's the New York guy. Oh, are we back to voting again? Let's see here. No, this is done. They're not voting yet again. Emmer, Garcia, Cole, and Massey all got 1 vote. Jeffries, the Democrat, got 212 to Jordan's 200. So that's where they're at right now. They just can't get out of their own way. Reading the latest headlines from the New York Times, Jordan Scalise met after Jordan lost on the first ballot. Jordan asked Scalise for help, but did not receive the pledge to do so, according to people familiar there. The failed first ballot has renewed discussions among lawmakers about empowering Poindexter, McHenry. He's the temporary speaker until House Republicans elect a new leader. Several Appropriations Committee members who voted against Jordan have said they would support that. A block of Jordan holdouts are senior members of the Appropriations Committee tasked with writing and passing the spending bills that fund the government. Jordan voted for spending bills just 16% of the time since 2011 when he joined the House. So it tells you a lot about that's they don't have any faith in him. Dean Phillips. Now, of course, he has gotten a lot of press because he's insisted that, you know,